We've been working for 30 years in Africa Christian Action. In fact, more than 30 years. My wife and I, the same week that our first child was born, our daughter Andrea, Africa Christian Action was born. And this passage in Nehemiah 2, verse 17 really inspired us. You see the distress we're in. Our Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach, a disgrace. It is said that 5% of the people make things happen, 15% of the people watch things happen, 80% of the people have no clue what happened. From the very beginning, as Africa Christian Action was launched 30 years ago, there were those who resisted the call to action. You cannot legislate morality, is what so many insisted. However, all morality is enforcing some kind of legislation. Legislation enforces some version of morality. Either the state will exercise the wrath of God against sin, or it will exercise the wrath of man against God and against his people. Either legislation will protect babies from the violence and the injustice of abortion, or as we see happening right now, legislation will be designed to penalize and prosecute medical professionals who are conscientious objectors to participating in the taking of an innocent life. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." We're facing two extremes. When we look at the threats of secular humanism and the New World Disorder and attempts to rebuild Babylon and privileges for perverts and lockdown lunacy, many respond in one of two extremes. There are those who want to deny that any problem exists. And then there's others who want to declare that there's no hope. Either there's no problem or no hope. To try and deny the reality and to claim that there's no problem is to fail to recognize the depravity of man. Mankind is in rebellion to Almighty God, and it is impossible to violate God's laws without serious and disastrous consequences. On the other hand, those who claim that there is no hope, they're failing to take into account the sovereignty of Almighty God, the power of the Word of God, which never returns void, and the power of prayer, or should I say, the power of God's answers to our prayers. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Does not wisdom cry out? Does not understanding lift up her voice? She takes a stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry to the city, at the entrance to the doors. And so Proverbs 8 calls for us to make a public stand, to get out into the crossroads and the highways and the byways and make a stand. Isaiah 58, verse 12 says, "Your people will rebuild the ancient wall ruins, and you'll raise up the old age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with buildings." And that's so much of what we've been called to do. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. In Isaiah 61, we read, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity." In February 1991, when Africa Christian Action was launched, our first campaigns were against the blasphemous Jesus Christ Superstar play at Nico Milan Theatre, which is now the Artscape. We were inspired by Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." These were foundational scriptures that inspired the foundation of Africa Christian Action. When we told people there's pornography in the supermarkets, attempts to legalize abortion, many government schools are promoting secular humanist evolution, situation ethics, sex education programs, interfaith movement, gender confusion, the gay agenda, witchcraft, even occultism. The response of all too many has been, "We can just preach the gospel." just preach the gospel has often seemed like a convenient excuse for disobedience to the clear commands of Scripture and an excuse for doing nothing, to be honest. We've heard others saying, all you can do is pray. Well, we can always do more than pray. Once we have prayed, prayer is the foundation for action. These are the last days. Jesus coming soon. We'll be raptured before the tribulation. These are some response we've heard. We will be raptured before the tribulation. I've been hearing this now for decades, as long as I've been a Christian, 44 years. Do we really believe that Jesus would have us stand passively by while God-hating pagans exploit women, made in the image of God, degrade that which God has made to be holy, make public what God has made to be private, make common what God has meant to be special, corrupting young minds and morals and ruining marriages? Just preach the gospel, in many cases, just an excuse to justify laziness and disobedience. Would God have us stand idly by while a murderer rips off the arms and the legs of a baby and crushes its head? That's what abortion is. Which servant of God in the Bible limited himself to just preaching the gospel? Was Elijah wrong to confront and expose the pornographic child sacrificing prophets of Baal? Was John the Baptist wrong to have publicly confronted the immorality of King Herod? Could our Lord Jesus have been in error when he confronted the corruption in the temple, overturning the tables and driving out the money changers? In the parable of the Good Samaritan, with its go and do likewise, we learn about the importance of not being guilty of sins of omission. On the coming day of judgment, in Matthew 25, our Lord Jesus made it clear that we will be judged for our sins of omission, for the good things that we have failed to do. In the words of our Lord Jesus, we will be judged in terms of, did we care for the sick? Did we feed the hungry? Did we clothe the naked? Did we visit the prisoners? Did we welcome strangers? This all confirms that we're called to do far more than just preach the gospel. I think many people recognize this picture. It's a famous picture. It's a Pulitzer Prize photograph of 1994. South African photojournalist Kevin Carter took this picture in Sudan on his first and his only visit to Sudan. And here he got a picture, he captured this moment of a young girl bowed over without any more strength or energy to rise up with a vulture ominously in the background. Well, this got him the Pulitzer Prize. He went to New York to receive the highest award a photojournalist can receive. And then people started to ask difficult questions. What happened to the little girl in the picture? Well, I don't know, said Kevin Carter. Well, how did you get the picture? What's the story? Well, Kevin Carter said that he had flown into Sudan. He was only there for 2 hours. His aircraft was waiting on the landing strip. He was looking for a photographic opportunity. And as he was walking around looking for this opportunity to get a photo, he saw this little girl crawling, malnourished, weak, and he positioned himself in the shade of a tree. He said he took a light reading, he focused up and he waited. He had to wait about an hour, but when that vulture hopped into the back of the picture, he snapped the shutter and he said, I knew I had an award-winning picture. But what did you do after you took the picture, people asked. Well, said Kim Collie, I sat under the tree and I smoked a cigarette and I cursed God. He cursed God. He blamed God for what he was personally responsible for. All Kevin Carter carried into Sudan was his cameras. All he carried out from Sudan was this picture. All he left behind in Sudan was cigarette stubs. He could have carried this girl to his aircraft. She could have gotten flown to Lokochokia, the Red Cross hospital. She might have been put on an IV drip and could have survived. But when you look at this, you think of the words of our Lord Jesus from Matthew 25. Whatever you did not do unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did not do it to me. In James 1, verse 27, we read that the biblical definition of true religion before God is to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world and to care for widows and orphans in their distress. We are called to be the salt of the earth. We are called to be the light of the world. We are to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are called to be the salt of the earth. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. We are to pray for God's will to be done on earth. God's will is not being done on earth. When babies are being murdered, And when so much evil is being done, it was love for God that motivated us to stand up against the legalization of blasphemy in South Africa. It was love for our neighbor that motivated us to organize outreaches outside abortion clinics. It was love for God that organized many of these sidewalk counseling opportunities outside the Mary Stopes Abortuary in downtown Cape Town, seeking to exercise love for our neighbor, including our preborn neighbor. Here's a picture of medical waste management truck coming to collect aborted babies and red bags, plastic bags being brought out of the side door from Mary Stopes. Abortion, one heart stops, another heart breaks. Abortion kills babies, which abortion is the ultimate child abuse. And so we've organized demonstrations, protests, prayer vigils, sidewalk counseling outside these abortuaries such as Mary Stopes Clinic in downtown Cape Town. I'm glad to say this abortion clinic has closed in answer to prayer. Who will rise up for me against evildoers? Who will make a stand for me against the workers of iniquity? This is the word of God. One of the first little sign attempts to be made was a little classified in Cape Times, Argus, and the Burger, and the Cape Times. And would you believe the Cape Times and the Cape Argus never, ever allowed us to put this in their paper? De Burger had no problem. The Citizen had no problem. Natal Mercury and Natal Witness had no problem. But the Cape Argus and the Cape Times always refused to allow us to put this little paid-for classified in their obituaries column. And they came up with all sorts of nonsense. They said, well, we can't put in an obituary if we don't have a specific name. He said, that's not true. I said, I'm a moth, a memorial order of the Tin Hat. We put in every 11th of November in memory of all soldiers who died in the wars. You've got under births. You've got from Baby City, for example, congratulations to all mothers. But don't be ridiculous. Of course you can. He said, no, well, we can only put something under the obituaries when there's an actual death. I said, this is an actual death. Life begins at conception. Abortion is murder. But the censorship, even of paid classifieds, it just shows the small-mindedness of so many in the media. Well, growing gone. We've organized Life Chains to make a stand against the evils of abortion. From 1992 already, we've been organizing Life Chains every year, and especially in Cape Town at busy intersections such as Botancroft Street, Traffic Island, we can distribute thousands of leaflets to passing motorists and pedestrians. And it's so important to make a stand. And it's a wonderful family opportunity to get people together. And there have been people who have been making a stand now for 28 years, making a stand for the right to life. In fact, South Africa, I believe, is the only country in the world that had a strong pro-life movement before the legalization of abortion. Our government cannot say that it did not know, because they were given testimony by experts, by Doctors for Life and others, right there in Parliament, when life begins, all the different details that they needed to know. But they don't seem to care. And so in this case, we're dealing with a government that knows life begins at conception. They know that at 3 weeks after conception, the baby's heartbeat can be measured. They know that at 9 weeks after conception, not only can the brainwave be measured, but so can the fingerprints, eye, all there, all body parts. In God's court, abortion is murder, and abortion kills babies. And it's so important that we're out in the streets, that we make a stand, that we make it visual, that we make it clear. Abortion is not a human right. It's human sacrifice. Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. And so it's so important having these times of prayer vigils, as we will be having tomorrow, Sanctity Life Sunday, and International Life Chain Sunday. Distributing literature, giving out the message, Jesus heals and forgives. Adoption is the loving option. Distributing literature, making a stand. And we've been doing this for years, including during the lockdown lunacy of last year. We still had our life chain. We need to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather to expose them. You must not murder. Abortion is murder. And I've been asked in Parliament, give me one verse in the Bible that forbids abortion. And I said, Exodus 20:13, you must not murder. No, they said, verse against abortion. Said, this is it. Ten commandments. Sixth command, you shall not commit murder. Exodus 20:13. The fact is, life begins at conception. Abortion is murder. It was in obedience to the scripture, have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, that led us to march to Parliament, sometimes led by Piper James. Having a Pied Piper, having a bagpiper really helps to call the people from the streets and the shops to see what's going on as we march with crosses and flags and banners and with flowers and little coffins, and dramatize the fact that life begins at conception. Abortion is murder. Abortion is the ultimate child abuse. We've had prayer vigils inside Parliament, repenting for the national sin of abortion, mobilizing pastors to sign an imprecatory prayer declaration to Parliament. And I delivered to Thabo Mbeki, this signed by over 100 pastors and leaders in Cape Town. And it was so extraordinary as we challenged him that if he does not enact legislation to protect the most innocent, helpless human beings of all in South Africa, preborn babies, we will pray that his days in office may be shortened, that another may take his place. We actually adapted this from the prayers of John Knox that he prayed against the wicked Mary Queen of Scots, based on the Psalms. And how surprised we were when just a few months later, Thabo Mbeki, while president, was ousted from office. We don't pray enough. We need to pray the Psalms. We need to make the stand, not only to reach the media, and occasionally there have been some positive media coverage, but that's the exception. We can't always expect that. If you falter in the day of trouble, your strength is small. Deliver those being drawn towards death. Hold back those stumbling towards the slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart consider it? Does not he who keeps your soul, does he not know it? Will he not render to each man according to his deeds? This is something of a threat. God, our creator and our eternal judge, says, he knows our thoughts, he knows our motives. And if we do not rescue those being led away from death, he's the one who determines when we live and when and how we die. And this is a threat. We've gone to the High Court in Cape Town, made a stand that in God's court, abortion is murder. Choose life. It's so important that we have visual stands, because the scripture says that we must maintain justice in the courts. Let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And so we've got the opportunity in Cape Town, being so close to Parliament, to regularly hold prayer vigils, life chains, distribute pro-life literature, make a stand, get out there into the streets, organize these events, whether it's marches for life, whether it's the life chains, and to call people in terms of 2 Chronicles 7:14 to humble ourselves and pray. If we want God to heal our land, if we want God to forgive our sin and to hear our prayers, he says there are four things we must do. We must humble ourselves, we must pray, we must seek God's face, and we must turn from our wicked ways. There's two parts, our part and God's part. There's seven items here. There's four things we must do. There's three things that God says he will do. We must humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from his wicked ways, and then he will hear from heaven, forgive us, and heal the land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's so important to march, to make a stand for life. 5% of the people think. 15% of people think they think. 80% of people never think. To reach those people who think, we need books, seminars, conferences, documentation. For the 15%, leaflets, video documentaries are needed. For the 80%, we are reduced to sound bites, slogans, t-shirts, and bumper stickers. But it's important. Every movement needs to mobilize every section of society, starting with leadership training, 5%, so to speak. The books and the seminars are important. Going through the leaflets and the documentaries, but not neglecting the sound bites, the slogans, the trailers, the banners, the social media. And so we've designed big banners, trailers, life begins at conception, abortion is murder, rescue those being led away to death, hold back those staggering towards slaughter, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, now choose life so that you and your children may live, and voters' guides in different languages, making your vote count. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men, who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials. I've got on the screen one from 2019, but we have now produced a new one that will be distributed this weekend on the 20, 21 municipal elections too. Websites are so important, radio programs are so important, newsletters are important, books are important. We need to inform, inspire, and involve. We need to educate and enlist. We need to motivate and mobilize. Raw information, such as makes up the majority of newspapers, is cheap. Information is cheap. But understanding is valuable. But participation is most precious. And this is what's so important. God has set watchmen on the walls who must never hold their peace. Day and night, we must not keep silent as we make a stand, lifting up our voice and sounding the trumpet, mobilizing people to make a stand for the right to life of preborn babies. And we've been given a charge. If we do not warn the wicked, his blood will be required at our hands. I mean, imagine this, ministers, so-called, of the gospel, standing up, dedicating abortion clinics, calling themselves pro-faith, pro-family, and pro-choice. What a contradiction turned. We need to make a stand. We need to proclaim God's word in the highways and the byways. We need to be alert to the threats. We need to call people back to the law of God, back to the words of God. And so it's so important to be watchmen on the walls, to be mobilizing the population to make a stand. We need to be speaking to every area of life, applying the lordship of Christ to all areas of life. It's so important to lift high the name of Jesus, to call people to choose life so that you and your children may live. This poster, which was painted by one of our secretaries, only had a short lifespan. It was at Parliament for the opening of Parliament. Tyburn Becky came past in 1999. He plainly saw it, because within minutes out came his riot police, confiscated this banner and burned it. They burned this banner. What was so offensive about this banner? It's from Deuteronomy 30. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. And, well, interesting that that seemed to have really caught the attention of President Mbeki and offended him. You know, we should not fear man. We need to fear God. You might have hope of victory in a war against man, but you'll never be able to defeat God. No one can win in a war against God. And those people who are waging war against God and against those made in the image of God, they will lose. And it doesn't matter how the people respond. The key thing is that we need to deliver the warning. We need to be faithful. The result's on God's hands, but we must not have blood in our hands by failing to speak up. And so we need to be by the abortion clinics. We need to call people back to the word of God. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And therefore we've set before people this day life and death, prosperity and destruction. Love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land. May God bless each one of you as you make your stand. We praise God for the work of National Alliance for Life. We've been part of it from the very beginning. We love Doctors for Life. We love all the different groups that are involved in this wonderful National Alliance for Life. We are trying to provide resources to make a difference, calling people to action. And we can praise God that he has answered prayers. Not one promise has failed. Everything that he has promised has come to pass. And so thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless each one of you.